how about Cap'n Crunch's Crunch Berries with breakfast?
Whoa, Dad, we're on
Crunch Island. He's John Littlefoot.
And he stole our crunch.
Quick, the zip line.
He's getting away.
Throw our last Crunch Berry.
No!
No one steals my Crunch Berries.
I think you mean my Crunch Berries. Choose your own Crunch Venture with Cap'n Crunch.
People today can spend half their lives over 50. So it's good to be financially ready for what's important to you as you get older, like a family vacation.
Cannonball!
Or starting your dream business.
Welcome to Connie's Coffee. How may I help you?
AARP's trusted financial tools can help you plan for whatever your future holds. That's why the younger you are, the more you need AARP. Start planning today at aarp.org/moneytools.
From a flat tire in the city to a dead battery on a distant drive, AAA is partnering with T-Mobile for Business to accelerate response times and get more drivers back on the road fast. Our nationwide connectivity powers location telematics, so AAA's fleet can find stranded drivers quickly while being fully equipped with the in-vehicle tools to have answers when they get there. This is elevating the member experience. This is AAA with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun. And that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.
Sometimes it takes a different approach to help you unlock your true potential. With Capella University's game-changing FlexPath learning format, you gain relevant skills you can apply to your career right away. Earn your degree from an accredited university and be confident in the quality of your education. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu. Capella University is accredited by the Higher Learning Commission. Learn more at capella.edu/accreditation.
Today, what this MSP investor and former MSP thinks about mental health. Working from home might be too much. Ravi Ramharik on a bonus episode of The Business of Tech. Ravi, tell me a little bit about your background. Like, how did you, you've done an MSP, but elaborate a little bit on what you've done and what you're doing now.
Yeah, sure. So I started my, I call it break fix career when I was 18 years old. I was hired by a gentleman named David Papp at Microtech. And, you know, for probably 5 years, I just fixed computers, fixed servers, did tape backup. So kind of like the level one help desk, kind of level two help desk stuff. 5 years in, I purchased a part of the company from David and turned it into what I would consider one of the early MSPs in 2008, 2009. So pretty early on. I sold that in 2013 to a larger company for some IP that we had internally. And then I kind of kept my MSP on the side. I had my like five really good clients. They were large, over 100 employees, really good, all healthcare driven. And then about, I would say, 2.5 years ago now, my partner Jason approached me and kind of, you know, pitched this whole roll up in the MSP space. And at the time, I was kind of trying to decide what I wanted to do with my life. I feel like, you know, a lot of people say they've been working their career for a long time, but I've been working in this space since I was 18. So like at that point, I had literally been working my entire, I call it adult life, in the tech space. And that's how we got started. You know, Jason kind of approached me and said, you know, lots of private equity going on, lots of large investor going on, but nobody's really doing more of an organic play where you buy the companies and keep the culture in place and add value to the culture. So I really like that approach because my last company was purchased by private equity and was really chopped up. So for me, being able to actually engage with the employees, keep the clients, and keep the overall human culture was a big one for me.
That's a whole other conversation too. But I want to pivot a little bit on the culture bit, which is where our conversation today is going to lie. And I'll say, like, the way your team approached me about talking to me here was presenting some data, and I'm a big data nerd. And they presented some stuff by Blind in a survey that found 61% of tech professionals burnt out in February 2020. Right. And 2020, that's like literally right before the pandemic. Right. And it gets worse in May of last year, getting to 73%. And 68% of tech workers surveyed felt more burned out remotely than they did in the office. And it's this idea of burnout and mental health that I wanted to dive into. Why is this an issue that's kind of resonates for you?
I think for me, so I'll give you two approaches from a company perspective, my personal. Personally, you know, I've been burnt out since I was 18 years old. I think people forget that we're in a service job. But the problem is that we're in a job where when things go wrong, the result is right now. Like, you know, you've got even mom and pop companies dealing with us on the MSP side. And, you know, they're paying this little bit amount of money every month to get this support level, which is fine when everything's okay. But the minute something's wrong, their business is crippled. You're getting the brunt of that. So, you know, the way I kind of pitch it is MSPs in general are kind of like the janitors of technology, right? That's the best way to pitch it. You know, we're always cleaning. We're always trying to maintain. And if there's no leak or any sort of spill problem, nobody sees us. But the minute there's a disaster, you know, we're kind of in the beat. And the person on the other end tends to forget that we're human too. So, you know, I think lots of guys will tell you they get yelled at, they get screamed at, they're getting pushed by their own boss to get it resolved. There's pressure from the company for deadlines. So, you know, you take that mental health and you kind of throw that on people in normal course of business enough, throw COVID on top of it, throw the high pace of going work from home. And all of a sudden you have a lot of people that are sadly, I think, underpaid, undervalued, and just really beaten up at this point.
So what's interesting about this is that there's a lot of commentary how, for some, the move to remote work is actually establishing a better life balance, right? That they're now more in control of their time, they have more time with their kids, they have more time to engage in themselves, they're not sitting in a commute. Is it your experience that working remotely is impacting MSPs positively or negatively?
So I have a probably controversial approach on this. I think working from home will lead to the largest mental health problem we've ever seen. I'm going to tell you why.
Okay.
Because there's no longer a barrier to work anymore. Now, all of a sudden, you're home with your, let's say, your husband or wife, your kids, maybe relatives, neighbors, whatever. It's all of a sudden your work. You know, there's that old saying, don't bring your work home. And now your work's always home. And so I think for me personally, I think it's been very negative, actually, in a lot of ways. Like, I think it's great that people have the flexibility to work wherever they want. I think that's fantastic. But the fact is that people are working longer hours. If you look at the data from IBM, from Microsoft, from Apple, people are actually working longer hours. Yes, they're not working as focused 9 to 5, but now all of a sudden they're working, you know, 9 to 11, taking a break, and maybe coming back at 1 to 4, taking a break, and then 7 to 9. All of a sudden, the barrier of 9 to 5 and then going home, going for the weekend, and leaving work doesn't exist anymore. And so I think that, like, for me, there's a negative impact that I've seen. I mean, again, not everybody will agree with me, but for the MSP side, I don't think it's been good.
Okay. So, and it's an interesting piece, because I'll tell you, my opinion is that I think empowering individual employees and users to control their time can be a very positive. Not always is, because you've got to be capable of doing that. You've got to have a support system that allows for that. But, you know, my counter argument would be, well, you know, a schedule like that, those breaks could be to have time with your family, to be able to pick up your kid from school, to, you know, get outside, go for a walk, like to be in much more in control of your time. So why wouldn't that be something that results in positive upside?
Because the problem with IT is IT works best, I think, in a controlled environment. So you've built these million-dollar networks at work that have redundancy, double internet, fast Wi-Fi, good video conferencing. And all of a sudden, you got everybody going to home, and now you got Joe Schmo Wi-Fi router, and you got, you know, one kid's gaming, one kid's watching Netflix, the video conference is slow. you're trying to troubleshoot it. You can't go to their home. So now IT has to try to create these little tiny universes everywhere, but it's impossible because there's not enough capital available, like, to say, okay, you're going to go home. We're going to give you a laptop, a router, and the right internet every time. So I think there's a disconnect there to where, like, again, I do agree with you, though, that the balance is better for other people. I think for the MSP, it's very tiring in that I'm trying to troubleshoot somebody's Wi-Fi sitting in their basement from upstairs in their third floor because that's where their office is. Well, how do I do that without going there? And so they're frustrated that I can't give them a good solution. And when I tell them, hey, you need to spend $500 on a new Eero Wi-Fi system to get, you know, 802.11ax, they're like, well, that's ridiculous. Why should I do that? So I think that's the problem I'm running into. And I think a lot of people are going to run into that as well across the spectrum.
Okay. So then what's your answer then to business owners that are saying, like, look, this is the reality, right? I'm in a world where labor controls more of the decision. They're getting to pick the kinds of work that they want to do and how they want to work. I don't get to force them anymore. And by the way, as a business executive, and my counsel to executives is you can't force them, right? You can't say you must come into the office because we just had an experiment for 18 months that says, well, you don't have to be in the office for the business to make money. What are you advising then to help create these environments that are productive for people?
So a couple of things that I'm working on ourselves, even internally for all of our companies, is a work from home mandate package where we believe that based on industry results, these are the 10 top things your employees need to be successful at home, whether that's a specific type of laptop, a home Wi-Fi package, set hours where they actually can, you know, they're off. So rather than saying work 9 to 5, you say, hey, you're going to work 9 to 11, break 12 to 1, break, like, and try to change that 9 to 5 mentality to get the balance. And then number 4 is better benefit packages, very important, like more mental health spending available. Because now the problem is now you've got, you know, and I'll say guy and girl interchangeably, so right. I'm not saying, like, yeah, but let's say you got this, let's say, a female employee at home. She's now the mom for 3 kids. Okay, well, she's trying to work, but the 3 kids just see mom. And so they're screaming at her 24/7 while they're at home. And so she's stressed out because she's trying to do her work. They're coming into video conferences. So one of the big things is creating a safe work environment at home. And the companies need to help with that. We need to offer capital for better desks, better chairs. Maybe they need to redo a room. So we have to help them. I think there's, you know, similar to relocation fees for companies, you almost have to have work from home fees, right?
Let's focus on the policy procedure part. How do you build a culture in both the MSP style companies and their customers that supports a good mental health environment? How do you build that?
I think open communication is key. So what we've learned is 3 things that are critical. Consistent monthly employee engagement surveys. Ask the employees, how are you feeling? What can we do better? What do you like that we've done so far? What have you hated? So feedback every month. Don't wait. Don't do it quarterly. Don't do it yearly. Do it every month. I am noticing people leaving after 1 month. So even 1 month is enough to burn somebody out to where they're looking somewhere else. Okay, so that's number 1. Number 2, certifications, training, and career. From day 1, you talk to that employee and say, where do you want to go? You want to go from 50,000 level tech to 125,000 Azure tech? Okay, great. We're going to put out a map for you to get there. They need to see that. That's changed too, by the way, big time. Somebody might have stayed in their career for 10 years in the same job. Now they want elevation right away within 2 years. That's a big COVID shift. And then the third one I think that's important is really good retirement. So MSPs that were smaller, I think you're going to have a very hard time with all 3 of these things because it really hits the bottom line and you don't have economies of scale. So benefits, engagement, and retirement packages. These are big to keep people working. Like we're even realizing we're about to start an RSP plan for everybody. And I think if you do those 3 things, so engage, reward, and then define a path, people will be very happy at work because they're going to know where they're going.
Is there something in particular you're focused on for those like kind of in engineering roles, that typical thankless job? Are there particular things you're doing?
We're starting right now. So we're starting a reward program where, like, you know, they work X hours, they do X tickets, they their manager can reward them. So before, everything was monetary, right? Like, you worked your year, you got your year-end bonus, that's it. I think what's going to end up happening is monthly bonus structures where you're getting a consistent reward. Here's why. Introduce TikTok, okay?
Okay.
TikTok is going to be at some point studied as the greatest mental health failure in history of mankind, because you've taken people with long attention spans and shrunk it to 20 seconds. And now, after 1 year of TikToking, everybody's doing it. You now have them down to flipping 10-second videos. People can't even watch a 10-second video anymore. They're just like, flip, 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 flip. The average person on a mobile phone, I was reading a crazy stat the other day, is spending over 1 hour on TikTok or Facebook video or Instagram. That is a lot of time flipping through things quickly. So I think what's going to have to happen is long-term rewards are going to have to be shortened to be able to keep people mentally engaged and feeling good about themselves long-term. Now, people might say this is a controversial comment to make, but I really think if you look at the trend in the last 3 years, forget about COVID itself. We're going to get over that eventually. You look at just the social media trend. The mental health has now got to be balanced with the engagement time. You know, I read an interesting article, Dave, you might have crossed to, on ghosting in the workforce. Mm-hmm. So an employee saying, I'm going to take a job and disappearing.
Yep.
That is a sign of the attention span of people today.
So what are you thinking that, you know, a lot of this listenership is those IT service providers, MSPs? Yep. You've given sort of three bits, like, what do they need to do to prioritize mental health in the workplace? What's the kind of the key thing they need to get started on?
B1 is engagement survey right now, today. Go to Google, type employee engagement survey, sign up for something and get on that right now. That's the number one thing. Figure out what is making them unhappy. And here's the problem. You might have to use a third-party firm to do this because the employees might be scared to tell you. So I want every owner to remember this. Even though you might know the employee for 20 years, you are still the boss and the employer. They are not going to be 100% honest with you in fear of potential retaliation. Even if they're your best friend, you see them every week, there is a stepping stone. So do the engagement surveys, but maybe use a third party. That's my number one priority. Do that right now.
So what's your advice and thinking on how open business owners should be about their own mental health state with their employees? What's your take on that?
I think a bi-weekly conversation on how the company's doing financially, how we're going to be working on new technologies. I think, okay, so before you ran your MSP and you had like quarterly meetings, maybe even just yearly meetings with your staff to update them. I think the owners need to engage more and make the staff feel like they're part of a team, more so than just a pizza party. You know, a lot of owners I'm talking to, one owner I just talked to actually in a deal working on, they have a bi-weekly financial review with all their staff. And they show them the profit, the loss, the benefits, the bonuses, and they really engage stuff. They have the lowest EBITDA I've ever seen on a company that size. But they have the highest client and staff retention I've all ever seen either. So low EBITDA, half retention. I think a lot of the owners are going to have to some point balance that conversation on, I'm trying to make the best profitable company I can, whereas I'm just trying to survive this mental health exodus going on.
Interesting. Well, I think you've given us a lot to think about. So, Robbie, how can people get in touch with you if they're interested in learning more?
Yeah, sure. So our main website is mspcorp.ca. There's actually a link you can book with me if you'd like to learn more about our company, what we do. And, you know, just from a peer perspective, I am in Reddit, Red Fox, if you want to look me up in the MSP channel. I'm on Facebook. My email is ravi@mspcorp.ca. I don't care if you're one man or 50 man or 1,000 people. If you have mental health you want to talk about and like kind of understand what we're doing on the larger scale, I'm happy to try to give you some of our thoughts and hopefully that'll help you. I think that as an industry, it's super important we all cross engage and share what's working and what's not working.
I would agree with you. Well, thanks for joining me today.
Thanks for having me, Dave.
Thanks for listening to this bonus episode of The Business of Tech. Remember, if you like this kind of content, you can support it directly. Visit patreon.com/MSP Radio for our Give What You Want program. Every little bit helps, and we are supported directly by listeners like you. I'll talk to you again tomorrow. The Business of Tech is written and produced by me, Dave Sobel. Like the content? Support the show at patreon.com/MSP Radio. Want to reach our listeners? MSPradio.com/engage.
How about Cap'n Crunch's Crunch Berries with breakfast?
Whoa, Dad, we're on
Crunch Island. It's John Lefoot.
And he stole our crunch.
Quick, the zip line.
He's getting away.
Throw our last Crunch Berry.
No!
No one steals my Crunch Berries.
I think you mean my Crunch Berries. Choose your own Crunch Venture with Cap'n Crunch.
People today can spend half their lives over 50. So it's good to be financially ready for what's important to you as you get older, like a family vacation.
Cannonball!
Or starting your dream business.
Welcome to Connie's Coffee. How may I help you?
AARP's trusted financial tools can help you plan for whatever your future holds. That's why the younger you are, the more you need AARP. Start planning today at aarp.org/moneytools.
From their innovative practice facility to unmatched views from the fairway, the PGA of America is helping lower scores and elevate fan experiences with 5G solutions from T-Mobile for Business. Together, we're using AI-powered analytics to expand coaching tools and bringing fans closer to the pros with 5G-connected cameras. This is game-changing innovation. This is the PGA of America with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
Sometimes it takes a different approach to help you unlock your true potential. With Capella University's game-changing FlexPath learning format, you gain relevant skills you can apply to your career right away. Earn your degree from an accredited university and be confident in the quality of your education. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu. Capella University is accredited by the Higher Learning Commission. Learn more at capella.edu/accreditation.